The Phoenix Suns started February with another ugly loss. Exactly the type of loss that Devin Booker could have fixed. We'll talk about that side of things as well as the game overall on today's episode of Locked On Suns. Let's go.
You are Locked On Suns, your daily Phoenix Suns podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We are back. This is Locked On Phoenix Suns. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, and I'm your host, Brendan Kleen, a credentialed media member covering the Suns for the past six seasons, a writer at Suns.com, and the host of the Just Basketball Show. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Thursday. It is a late night edition of Locked On Suns, 11:45 local time. I just got back from the game. First game of the season with a media credential, a locker room credential is what I mean to say. So I got back in the locker room for the first time since pre-pandemic. We have one more show for you this week, so do not go anywhere. Hit follow, hit subscribe, whatever podcast platform you're finding this show on, including YouTube. If you are on YouTube, hit that bell down below. Get a notification when a new show goes live here on this channel. And drop me a comment with your thoughts on the game. You can also do that and follow along with the show at LockedOnPHXSuns on Twitter, where you can give your seven-word or less game takes every single game. We have at Jestopian, Suns didn't play tonight, Brendan, which I appreciate the sentiment on. We have at Josh Ritter 13, three-point percentage disparity, flush it. And then we had a ton of them today, over 20 responses, so keep those coming. At D Crack Pepper, excited for February 8th. We will touch on some of the news around this team to close the show out. 132-100 was the final score. Today's show, guys, brought to you by Prize Picks. First-time users can receive 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's prizepicks.com, promo code LOCKEDON. Again, 132-100, final score. Mikal Bridges with 23, DeAndre Ayton with 20. Not enough to match Trae Young, DeJounte Murray, Onyeka Okongwu, and Bogdan Bogdanović all playing pretty good, pretty well for the Hawks. And even DeAndre Hunter, who was guarded by Chris Paul, had some success scoring the ball. It was just ugly. The Hawks got some offense from just about everybody that checked into the game, whereas the Suns got it from just about nobody who checked into the game. But I want to obviously focus on the Suns side here. Even if I tell you 23 points, 7 assists for Mikal Bridges, 2 turnovers. Great game, right? I'm not going to go against that. I'm not going to argue with you. But all things considered, one, this was a game where I had the caution flag. I had the red flag in my head of Mikhail's going to have to guard one or both of Trey and Murray at times in this game. Mostly was Trey, which I expected. And being that the Hawks are a pretty good offensive team and defense tends to be where they struggle, although this year it's been weird, Mikal is going to have to score in order for the Suns to match Atlanta's output. The games where he runs into trouble, especially while Booker is out, have been when he has to do it on both ends. There were some games where we can probably say he was in some pain. Those explain some of them, but a lot of the time, if he struggles on offense, it's because his defensive matchup is particularly difficult, or obviously some teams have guarded him well too. So I'm not going to tell you that Mikal missed 6 of his 7 threes just because he had to guard Trae Young, but it's just a pattern that's undeniable at this point, and it makes total sense, right? I mean, that's the same reason we talk about guys like Booker, like Trae Young, although he's a very extreme example of these offensive centerpieces. You don't want to have them guarding on the perimeter or guarding, playing defense all the time. You want to make their job easier on the defensive end. Mikal doesn't have that luxury, and so he struggled. Same thing when it comes to Chris Paul. although less so related to whatever he was doing defensively, more so that he wasn't there tonight all the way. And statistically, much worse. Mikhail was buoyed by having 10 free throw attempts and making all 10. Chris Paul was 1 of 6 from the field, 3 points. A dud. Just an ugly game. I mean, you can slice it any way you want. There's not really any bow to tie on top of such an awful box score game. DeAndre Ayton was fine. I don't really have any complaints. I think there were some times when the ball could have gotten to him. There were some whatever. It was not a DA mistake game tonight. 0 turnovers for him, 20 points, 9 rebounds. I'm not even going to focus on him. I don't think there's anything really more he could have done. The bench had 4 points up until about the end of the third quarter. And Cam Johnson, who I'll focus on in a second, was 2 of 7 from the field, 15 minutes. All of this adds up to a game that was prime for, prior to Devin Booker getting hurt, a game that he would have taken over and potentially won the game. I know that sounds crazy in a 32-point loss, but hear me out, because a lot of the other things statistically were not that bad, all right? Rebounding, basically even. The Hawks only had 6 offensive rebounds, so this wasn't a game where, you know, Capella and Okongwu and Jalen Johnson and whoever else, John Collins, hit the offensive glass and changed the game that way. No, pretty even. Free throws. Trae Young can be a trickster with that stuff. He's very clever and decisive and quick with his movements to draw fouls, draw contact, get to the free throw line. That didn't hurt the Suns. He only had 1 free throw attempt in the entire game. The Suns had 31. The Hawks only had 11. Turnovers. Yeah, 16 for the Suns. That's quite a few, but not an insurmountable number. The Hawks had 12. That's basically even too. The Hawks turned those into points a little bit better than the Suns did. I think the Hawks had 17 fast break points. You know, again, an edge, but not ugly. This is a game where Devin Booker being in the lineup, the Suns would have been even or won this game. And I say that to say something good and to say something bad. It's a reminder that despite the strides that Mikhail has made, despite the return to form that we've seen from Chris Paul, and I do think there's a very good chance that this Suns team can return to what they were in the first 6 games of this season before injuries hit, if not be even a little bit better than that from the improvements that other players have been able to make. I still think that. But when you're talking about what they're going to do in the playoffs, this game has to be a wake-up call, and it is a wake-up call for a lot of Suns fans. I just read you the 7 words or less game takes. It's no secret, no surprise that this is yet another tick in the column of James Jones needs to make a trade. Multiple, probably. But unless you're talking about a huge trade, you're talking about a team that's going to rise and fall with Devin Booker, because consistency is the name of the game, and Booker is that for the most part. You know, 85% of the time, he's going to get you the level of production, control, efficiency that you need to win the game. The other guys aren't there either because they're aging out of being consistent or they're not yet to being consistent in the case of Bridges versus Paul. There were a lot of games like this before Booker got hurt where he was it. And some of them they won. I think this could have been a game like that because you look and missing shots, not having direction on offense was the main problem tonight. Booker would have fixed that. Booker would have allowed them to set their defense on the other end more consistently. He would have created better threes, or even just being the one taking the threes would have been better than what the Suns got tonight. He will help. He can even this type of game out. But he still needs more help. And we're seeing that some of these other guys can't be trusted to be that every single night. Cam Johnson, 15 minutes. 10 minutes in the first half. What's going on there? We'll talk about it next. Is it the injury? Is it just rotation management, time management? injury rehab stuff. We'll dive into that in just a second. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by the FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the Locked On Podcast Network. And we're thrilled to announce that because they are America's number one sportsbook. And if you're new to FanDuel, join the party. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download the FanDuel app now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Again, no sweat, of course. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. And the MVP. I have those odds pulled up. Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, basically even odds, plus 120, plus 125. The interesting one to me is Miles Sanders, because we know the Eagles are going to run the ball. You could imagine a game where the Eagles get up early. I mean, either team could get up early. The Eagles have the defense to maintain that lead, I think, more than maybe the Chiefs do. You could imagine a game where Miles Sanders scores multiple touchdowns and gets a few extra yards if the Eagles have a lead and are trying to run clock down. Plus 2,400 odds for him. I really like that. All of that and more, Super Bowl 57 and beyond at the FanDuel Sportsbook app, which is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you get your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57 here in the Valley. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook partner of the NFL. We've seen Cam Johnson's minutes fluctuate as he's returned from the meniscus tear in his right knee, the surgery to repair it. He played 15 minutes tonight. I have his game log pulled up here. Since returning, 22 minutes in his debut, 29 the next game, although if you remember, it was a back-to-back, so he did not play the Indiana game. He played the Memphis game. 18 in a big win, blowout win over the Hornets. 33 last week against Dallas when he scored 22 points, had a pretty solid game. 32 against the Spurs on Saturday. 26 against Toronto when he was 1 of 9 from the field. And then tonight, 15. Although I'm not going to say 15 is really the number because he didn't play the whole fourth quarter. None of the Suns starters did. And you can imagine he would have played a few more minutes if the game was close. But, I mean, what are you getting to? Probably about the number we saw against Toronto, if not even less than that. He played 10 minutes in the first half, 10, 11 minutes in the first half. And that's when it got my attention, because all the way up through about a minute and a half left in the second quarter, Cam was on the bench. Now, we've seen him playing, you know, obviously, if you're only playing 26 minutes like you did against the Raptors, that adds up to 13 per half. So you check in, you start the game, you play 6 minutes, you come in 6 minutes left in the second quarter, and you do the same thing in the second half. Makes total sense. But when it started to pass that point, he was still not in the game. I tweeted out that I thought maybe he had nicked something, re-injured. I don't know. I was surprised. Obviously, he did stay in the game, he did eventually check back in, and then he started the second half. But you couple the minutes stuff and the rotation inconsistencies with the fact that he was 2 of 7, so now you're looking at two games, 41 minutes, 42 minutes total, where he's a combined 3 of 13 from the field, and 3 of 16 from the field, and 2 of 9 from deep, okay? We talked about it. We asked Monty about it post-game. He said it's just going to be a matter of managing it. That was kind of the phrase that he kept throwing around. And they knew going into the game that this one was going to be a little bit less than the last one, even. And we asked Cam about it after the game. His perspective was a little bit more, let's say, honest, where he said, He said right away, I don't want to excuse that's why I've been missing shots or playing poorly, but he did seem to let on that the pain has maybe been worse this week, which I don't want to overreact to. I think that's reasonable and understandable. It's one thing to do 5-on-5s in practice, to do conditioning work in practice, to get shots up every day, to lift weights, to do leg you know, leg workout, training, whatever. It's a different thing with how aggressive going to the basket he can sometimes be, how much ground he covers running off the ball in transition. That's a big part of what makes him a valuable player. All that stuff on a, you know, every other day basis, basically, since he got back. He's played every other day since he got back. You take the one extra day when he didn't play the Pacers game in that first back-to-back the weekend he returned. But he played January 19th, January 22nd, January 24th, 26th, 28th, 30th, and now February 1st. So every other day for 2 weeks, basically, he's been playing basketball. You cannot prepare for that. And so the pain being worse is not a problem to me necessarily. But the fact that it's coinciding not only with worse performance, but also the training staff taking notice and reducing his minutes, I do think starts to, you know, set off some alarms. Again, I think you're just, so many roads lead back to, they need reinforcements, both players getting healthy and trades, in order to reduce the load. I talked about it with Mikhail, needing to be a superstar on both ends and not being consistent enough to do that. Same thing applies with Cam Johnson returning from this injury. It's not realistic to expect that Cam Johnson is going to be scoring 20 points per game for you, playing 30 plus minutes a night as he returns from a very major injury that forced him to miss 2.5 months. The fact that we were all spoiled watching Cam produce at such a high level right away, the fact that the Suns were spoiled getting those victories as a result of his strong play, is not normal. It's not the expectation. And so tonight was an illustration of a lot of things, some of which I mentioned in that first segment related to consistency and what they miss when they don't have Booker, and some of these games that statistically should be more close but aren't. And some of them are Cam related. You know what I mean? Some of them are what they're missing is Cam. And so we just, it's a waiting game. It's such a frustrating thing to keep saying over and over this season, but it is what it is. It's the case. We can't evaluate a lot about this team until everybody's playing the role that they were intended to play. That's not happening right now. And when it comes to Cam, it's health and injury related. Other guys, it's other things. With him, it's this major injury that he's still recovering from. Not an emergency yet, not a 5-alarm fire, not anything to panic about, but very much a trend, even if it is just two games. Two bits of news about the Phoenix Suns here on this Wednesday night. Made a decision on the two-way contract, cutting Dwayne Washington, signing Saben Lee for the rest of the season, and a little bit of news about when Devin Booker will be back. We'll talk about both of those things next. First, today's show, guys, brought to you by Prize Picks, who came in and solved fantasy sports. And I don't mean solved fantasy sports, daily fantasy sports, by being really good at it, which you might think you are at home. No, I mean that they made daily fantasy fun. They fixed it by giving it an overhaul that it sorely needed. I was against daily fantasy for the longest time, but I love Prize Picks because you're not competing against a pool or a league or some opponent in some faraway country or world or land that you've never heard of and don't know where they are, and they do this for a living, and okay, now I lost. It's none of that. It is you versus the Prize Picks player projections. You just pick 2 to 6 players, and if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, and you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. That's easy. It's that easy. No competing against other people. Just you versus those projections. And it's not just points. It says score more or less. It's not just points. That could be you're going more rebounds. You're going for football, more rushing yards. In a lot of these sports, they have fantasy points as one of the categories. So you can say this player is going to get more fantasy points than what Prize Picks projects him to get. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. Prize Picks offer safe and fast withdrawals, and they're currently operational in over 30 states and Canada, including Arizona. Download the Prize Picks app now or go to prizepicks.com to sign up today and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with the promo code LOCKEDON. So if you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100 in your pocket. If you deposit 50, PrizePicks will put 50 in your account as well. Don't forget to enter the promo code LOCKEDON at sign up for an instant deposit match up to $100. PrizePicks, daily fantasy made easy. Closing out the show with some thoughts on the latest bit of news around the Suns. First up, and this is all just a rotation vibe check, which I do post-game all the time. First thing is Devin Booker's return. Let's start with the positive news. So Adrian Wojnarowski at ESPN has it that Booker could return as soon as Tuesday of next week. Now, that's a little bit of a delay from what we thought, right? John Gambadoro here locally had it that Book could come back this week. I thought he would come back today on Wednesday against the Hawks. Just because teams do like to, including the Suns, bring players back at home. Cam Johnson came back at the beginning of this homestand. Chris Paul came back at home, I believe, if I'm remembering that correctly. And I just figured the Suns had these two home games and they would try to peg it to one of these. But Booker loves East Coast road trips. Maybe that'll help. And Gambo did adjust his guess to say maybe more like next week. It sounds like, in general, with how many stops and starts the Suns have had with some of these injuries, they are wanting to make absolutely sure that players can recover. If you remember, Chris Paul came back, was playing pretty well, looked pretty comfortable, and then all of a sudden he's out for way longer than we expected all over again. Same thing could be said for DeAndre Ayton at times, who will get a tweaked ankle and tell everybody, I'll be back next game, and then he's missing three. Landry Shamet, Chris Paul, or Campaign, all guys who are having absences that are a little bit longer than we would expect, right? So it makes sense that Booker, Monty told us on Monday that Booker hadn't started 5-on-5s. I would imagine that's still the case. Booker did tweet today, rounding third, which would seem to back up that he's on his way back. The Suns do play on Saturday. I mean, Friday seems a little bit too early in Boston. They do play on the second night of a back-to-back Saturday. That would be a little bit of a strange day to bring him back, but who knows? Maybe they sit Cam Johnson and they use that as the opportunity to bring Booker back. But I think most likely, with Woj saying Tuesday, that feels right. That's one game before the trade deadline. I don't know if that matters. It is the Nets, which is going to be a tough game. Maybe that does matter. But either way, it's very good news. That would set Devin Booker up to play. What game number would that be for the Suns? Like, this was 53, so 54, 55. That would be game number 56. So he would have 27 games to prove himself again in terms of being healthy, being consistent, being able to lead this team. All-NBA, I don't know if that's in play. He would only be able to, the most games he's going to be able to play this season is 56, not a lot. But most importantly, aside from anything individual, is 27 games for the Suns to get their season on track, get their you-know-what together, and try to coalesce into a team that can go deep in the playoffs. And that's 2 weeks. If he comes back next Tuesday, 2 weeks after his original reevaluation date from when he tweaked the groin again on Christmas, I don't have a reason to believe he won't be able to come back and be pretty good again right away. I think that's the benefit of waiting longer, is you don't have to bring people along slowly. You don't have to be reserved about, okay, yeah, they're coming back, but they're, you know, Chris Paul came back, played like 38 minutes in his first game back from injury. I think that the Suns could be looking at something like that from Booker. The schedule, I don't want to say is like soft when he comes back, but you have the Brooklyn game, Atlanta, Indiana on the road. Then you have three at home, Kings, Clippers, Thunder. These are not elite teams, none of them. And so that is important and exciting, I guess, in terms of them being able to stack some wins up. That's where we are with Devin Booker. The other part of the news today from the Suns was Sabin Lee getting a new contract. So yesterday, or I think actually, The official end of his 10-day, second 10-day contract was Monday or Tuesday. Today they announce, Wednesday, they announce that he's going to be signed to a two-way contract for the rest of the season. And in order to do that, they're cutting Dwayne Washington Jr. If you listen to this podcast consistently, you had that in your mind already because I had predicted it. I think, to me, if I'm being honest, that says more about how far away Cam Payne is from returning than anything else. Not to say Saban Lee has not earned it. I've also put that out there on the show on Twitter that I think Saban Lee, I probably value what he gives this team more highly than what Dwayne Washington or Ish Wainwright were doing. And so I'm all in support of continuing to have him around and develop his game and see what he can be. I'm not disrespecting that. I'm also not trying to say that Dwayne Washington was not giving you what you need, because I think he did provide an element that this team wasn't getting from anybody else. But as we saw over the course of December and January, the ball handling, the ability to just, you know, initiate and set up an offense, make an entry pass, you know, toss the ball where it needs to go, not turn the ball over, just keep things calm, was way more valuable than just about anything. Because as good as Dwayne Washington was as a scorer, he wasn't good enough to be taking shots away consistently from McHale or DeAndre or anyone else, Damian Lee even. And he was hurting them in those other categories that Saban Lee provides. And so that makes all sense to me. On the campaign side of things, I just feel like this is bad news on that front. He has this foot injury. He's been seen in a walking boot as recently as, you know, last week or the week before. There's really been no progress from him, it seems like. Whereas Landry Shamet, we saw him post-game tonight. I saw him. He was not wearing a boot or anything like that. No crutches, nothing crazy. Just looks good. And he's been out there after practices, getting shots up and all that. Payne, I don't think you can say any of that stuff about. None of that positive stuff is to be said for Cam Payne. It feels like he's a ways away, and they just needed a backup ball handler while Payne remains out. The other part of this is both Wainwright and Washington had 8 games remaining of their two-way. Remember, two-way players can only be active for 50 games because of the Suns' injuries. Those guys have been active a ton, and so Washington only was going to have 8 more games. Now Ish played on Wednesday night, so I think he's down to 7. Shout out to David Nash, the 4-point play on Twitter, for pointing that out. And so that makes sense too, right? Bring in a guy who you reset the 50 for him rather than the 8 you are going to have with Dwayne Washington, and you're all set. I think it makes sense. I think it's concerning from a campaign front, and I think it very well could affect how the Suns approach the deadline. They didn't want to use up the extra roster spot by signing Wainwright, Washington, or Damian, or Saban Lee to a real, quote-unquote, real roster spot of a playoff-eligible, non-two-way, you know, actual rostered player. They want to maintain that flexibility for the deadline, clearly. So that tells me, you know, they didn't believe in any of these guys enough to make them the answer. They think the answer could still be out there on the deadline. And I don't think you can rely on Saban Lee, even the rest of the regular season, to be a consistent difference maker, let alone he's on a two-way contract. He's not even eligible for the playoffs. But if you did elevate him up to a normal contract, like we saw with Ish Wainwright last year, the idea of Saban Lee being a prominent part of this team, if campaign's not fully healthy or if he still has problems getting right and getting back into form, Saban Lee in a playoff rotation is bad news. So I don't know if there's a good answer on any of this outside of just hoping campaign does eventually come back during this regular season and is ready to go come playoff time, or they find a solution elsewhere. But in the meantime, Lee has earned the chance to keep being in this rotation and doing what he does and helping the team, because he does help the team. That'll wrap us up for today. Thank you for making Locked On Suns your first listen here on this Thursday. Despite the loss, you decided to show up, so I appreciate that. Hit follow, hit subscribe on whatever podcast platform you're finding us on, including YouTube. Aaron Edwards will be here to close out the week. We'll hit trade rumors, a ton of stuff. Be there. We'll see if anything crazy happens. In the meantime, go make Locked On NBA your second listen here on this Thursday. That show's available on all podcast platforms as well. And I will talk to you all tomorrow.